it's going to be rated PG-13 then.
Well, you know, we can't say dirty words, but yeah, we have to be. We have to keep the swearing off because we're FCC regulated. So.
Oh, I understand. Usually the FCC just reminds me of FU, but it's okay.
That's great. Yeah. So I'm taking the angle that this guy, I can't say it either. I can't say shit posting, but that's what he's doing. This killer, he was on the internet, just doing all kinds of stuff. He was doing everything to piss off everybody. And that's why he wrote in his manifesto what he did when he killed all those people. And this is probably Facebook's, I believe, first, I guess you'd say, social media massacre. That's what we're calling it. Mm. And so that's my angle, is that, you know, it just seems a little odd that, you know, Facebook was down for a while. And then all of a sudden we have a captive audience to see this guy go in and kill all these people. And so I guess I can get your perspective. Where are you, in Auckland or are you in Christchurch? Where are you?
I'm in Auckland.
OK, good. All right. I figured you were in Auckland. So. All right, we'll announce that you're in Auckland and that you're covering this and saying that you're very big time in New Zealand, which is great. And we'll just give you a good bio, good shout out, and we're glad to have you on board. I'm glad you're with us tonight.
Awesome, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, we will start in – we start about 6 minutes after the break, after the top, and then we break on the eights, on the sevens or eights. So when you start – I don't know if you have a clock near you. Or you can see a clock. Can you see a clock?
I've got ears, so I just listen for the
okay.
cues.
Okay. Hopefully. Okay. I hope so. Because and we also do a thing called a montage, which we play about 35 after, so it'll be a little quiet. I'll message you to mute your microphone so we don't hear anything. But you're pretty soundproof. You sound like you're pretty soundproof. But whatever you say when I'm playing audio comes over the channel. So if you say something, you'll be heard. So you have to be quiet, right?
Like don't that. Worry. It's like my 700th rodeo.
Oh, good. I'm glad. We'll be right with you. Okay.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, cheers. We'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. So tonight, of course, what's on everybody's mind is the massacre that took place in New Zealand. Happened on the Ides of March, which, of course, many weeks ago I had said that we need to beware this time of the year because between March 15th and May 1st, there's a window of what we call bloodshed and terror that takes place. And it began in New Zealand on the Ides, of course. And we have nearly 50 people dead in a mosque. At least two mosques were attacked by a gunman. Now, when I first heard about the crime and how it was committed, there were three men and one woman involved. And the focus is now on one lone gunman named Brenton Tarrant. And he posted pictures of the murder weapons on Twitter 2 days before he committed the crime. Weapons were clearly visible in the video of the spree, and he live streamed it on Facebook. And then shortly after the killing spree ended, New Zealand Police Commissioner Mike Bush confirmed that several improvised explosive devices had been disarmed by authorities as well. Immediately before carrying out his crime spree, his murder spree, Tarrant posted links to a manifesto on Twitter. The manifesto says a lot about the suspect and how he can use internet dog whistles that the media can lap up in order to spread a viral psyop. This is exactly what I believe is happening here. It's a viral psyop. He does a lot of trolling in his manifesto, a lot of copy pasta, and something else I can't say on the air. But the Great Replacement repeats a variety of white genocide talking points. He claims that he killed the several dozen Muslims because he claims they're invaders outbreeding the white race. All the evidence we have suggests that there are more or less, that these are more or less the shooter's beliefs. But the manifesto appears to be a trap that has been set for journalists searching for the meaning behind this horrific crime. I say it's chum, basically shark bait. And the killer knew that, you know, if there was blood, there would be sharks. And the sharks, of course, are the mainstream media who will focus on the names he references throughout his manifesto. And in essence, will run with his references and use them to spread the viral psyop. In his manifesto, we can most definitely dig out clues to the shooter's radicalization, but it is buried beneath a great deal of what can be seen as trolling. And it is. It's all trolling. It's just there's just a lot about this that screams of a psyop, that screams that, you know, there's more to the story than we, you know, are allowed to hear. And so tonight I decided to have on the program someone who is well known throughout New Zealand. His name is Vinnie Eastwood. Vinnie Eastwood is known as Mr. News. He is syndicated throughout New Zealand radio show. It's very popular. He's beaten out the largest mainstream media channel, the New Zealand Herald TV. He's, like I said, syndicated throughout New Zealand on radio networks. He's a full-time, self-motivated activist. He's supported financially by people who love his show and want to pay to hear more of what he has to say. He has thousands of in-depth radio interviews, and he's created working relationships with some of the biggest and smallest names in the global conspiracy alternative media movement. And from what I understand, he's a big fan of my show, which is cool. Vincent Eastwood, welcome to Ground Zero.
Thanks very much for having me on, brother. We've got to stop meeting like this.
I know it's a horrible time to meet like this, but still, I think it's very important to have someone who is there in New Zealand that can give us the lowdown on exactly what's happening and what it's like there. I know the mainstream media here in the United States, they want to focus on, you know, of course, the guns. They want to focus on conspiracy theorists. They want to focus on President Trump, you know, basically bringing him into the mix and blaming him. In fact, many of the pundits I saw on CNN this morning were actually blaming President Trump for this. What is the overall feeling in New Zealand now? What are they saying? Are they blaming the United States for a lot of this?
Well, I don't know what the rest of New Zealand is saying about when this happened. I thought of a couple of names that sprung to mind: Ollie Damagard, Kurt Richard Haskell, and Ben Vidgen. Ollie Damagard has predicted a number of attacks just like this, almost to the exact same day, and has indeed come up with a whole bunch of series of events of how these things play out, generally speaking, because this is not the world's first mass shooting, and in fact they happen all the time, and he's actually figured out how to predict them and how to pattern them. The second person was Kurt Richard Haskell, and he was on the plane with the underwear bomber, seeing the seat go up in flames in front of him and everybody running around the cabin screaming. And then he went to court and figured out that they were actually trying to cover up the fact that the FBI put a bomb in that underwear bomber's underpants and sent him on the plane without having his ID checked. And he's come up with an entire list of signs to look out for with false flags. And Ben Vidgen has been a best-selling author in New Zealand, best-selling author of State Secrets and State Secrets 2, and he's been chronicling New Zealand's involvement with organized crime, international arms dealing, and terrorism for the last decade or two. And he used to be an artillery intelligence with New Zealand until he left, because one of the drills that they did, his colleagues beat up one of the volunteer protesters in a drill. A drill, incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, that happened today. And well, what was it? Not today, rather, but on the day of the shooting. There was a drill by the Armed Defenders Squad. And indeed, the Prime Minister herself said that a witness thought they saw somebody dressed as an Armed Offenders Squad member walking into the mosque and opening fire. Now, this might shock a lot of people, and you should. Okay, imagine for a moment that the world is not sunshine, it is not rainbows, it is not cupcakes or a sugar-coated topping. The world is, in fact, scumbaggery. With all the trimmings, ladies and gentlemen, and more horrific things than you could ever imagine happen every day outside of your sight, and they do not get given the bright lights of publicity. Now, during this instance, we've come up with a number of, like, what we would call red flags, where you would see something, your subconscious may go, something sounds a bit strange about that, but your conscious mind can't put it into words. What is it that is wrong about this? Now, I've seen the unedited version. At least I presume it's unedited, because the gunman himself, during this video, and I'll give a brief capsule to the audience, he says, "Let's get this party started. You see guns in the car." He says, "Subscribe to PewDiePie," and starts his car and starts driving off. He plays German folk music for a little bit as he's driving, and then it starts to go with the whistling and marching kind of military march. He gets his gun out of the car, all right? It's on his side, and he's just getting out of the driver's side, and it's got one of those little LED flasher lights on the end of the muzzle. And what that does is when you're pointing it at somebody that you're shooting at, it's got a flashing light in their face so they will cover their eyes, and then you can shoot them. This guy then opened the boot of his car. Inside were a couple of canisters of gasoline several more rifles. He grabs one of them out. He walks then into the mosque, and the first person he sees, he raises his weapon and he fires. The person goes down. He moves forward into a few more steps. A couple of people start freaking out, and he shoots them all, three, four, five of them. They all go down. He moves forward a few more steps, and then he's inside the building now into the corridors to his left and his right. He fires to his left. He fires to his right, but he doesn't check his corners or go into the rooms to find out what's going on. He drops one of his magazines. He reloads. He goes into the main hallway that is just at the end of the prayer center, and he steps in, and there are people everywhere, and he starts firing in every direction manically. He stops after he expends all his ammunition, and then he steps back into the hallway. He runs back in, kind of like it's a computer game, how you run out and you shoot at the enemy, and then you run back into cover, and then you reload, and then you run out and you shoot everybody. It was like that for 6 solid minutes. This guy walking in and out of the same room, executing these people who were on the floor, huddled in a corner. They weren't any threat to him or anything like that. And then with his last couple of mags, he made sure to walk up good and close and headshot each and every one of them that were all piled together on the floor on both sides. This was an absolute horrific massacre that you've ever seen in your life. When I describe it to you in my voice, it's a hell of a lot more horrific than watching the video.
I would say yes.
Now, think about
and you know
this.
What's sad about this, Vincent? You know what's really sad about this? Is that as I was watching
this. Here's the thing about grief.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And especially incidents like this. There are a lot of disingenuous people in this world who like to use the suffering and tragedy of other people in order to virtue signal and say, aren't I a great person because I didn't know these people at all, have no real connection to them whatsoever, but now suddenly, all of a sudden, in front of the cameras, I'm grieving with you. I'm not one of those kind of disingenuous people. I didn't know these people. My sister lives down there. My friend in the cannabis party lives down there. I'm glad they're okay and nothing happened to them. But I have the same emotional reaction as the vast majority of people actually should. There is no grief for me in this moment. Only fear. That's the same thing we're all getting, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? That wasn't the point of it, is not to make us feel sad for the loss of these people, but to make us feel afraid so that they can take our weapons off us, so that they can pass draconian anti-terror legislation, so that they can do a whole bunch of things that they ordinarily wouldn't have the public impact to do. It is shock and awe, pure and simple, whether the government did it or whether it just happened and they're now using it is maybe within the realm of uncertainty of maybe it's 1% uncertain. So we're 99% certain that there's red flags here aplenty. They caught all the suspects and identified them immediately, instantly.
It's right? Amazing because as I was watching the video myself, I was very surprised that, you know, a strange car pulling up to a mosque and then having somebody get out, probably in fatigues. He was in fatigues with a gun. I don't know if they had time or if they even had security to stop him or if he could get through them. But you know, with a gun like that, no one had a chance. Plus, it was broadcast on the Internet. It was still on the Internet about 10 hours after the event. And yes, it was there for a fear factor. It was there as a viral psychological operation for the very thing that Vincent is talking about tonight. Vince Eastwood with us tonight on Ground Zero from New Zealand, giving us the lowdown on what went on with the shooting at the mosque. We'll be back with more right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. Well, Vinny Eastwood's with us tonight on Ground Zero from New Zealand, the top newsman in New Zealand. We have the best here tonight to give us the information that we're looking for with regard to the shooting, the massacre that took place in Christchurch. He's here tonight. We're very grateful to have him here. He's giving us the full play-by-play, if you will, of this video that was released on the Internet. Probably the first time we've had a social media massacre in history. And, of course, you know, Vinny has been, in your last segment, Vinny, you were telling us about how there was a drill that was happening at the same time. I mean, this is the same MO with a lot of these shootings that, you know, they have these drills that happen, like the Boston bombing was a drill. And several other shootings here in the United States were drills, and this is one that has the same MO.
I really want to stress this. Ladies and gentlemen, imagine for a moment that a government agency approaches you and they say, we're doing a very important drill this afternoon to protect the country from terrorism. You're a patriot. You love your country, don't you? And you're like, yeah, absolutely, I do. And I go, that's awesome. We'll give you $50 and you come here. You just can't tell anybody that you did it and that kind of thing. And here's a non-disclosure document. And they go, yeah, no problem. Sign the name on the dotted line. And they go there and they think, you know, somebody's going to come in with blanks or something like that, and they're going to play dead, and all of a sudden they get hit with a round. And the drill has gone live. Okay, put yourself in that situation, ladies and gentlemen, the position of absolute trust in somebody who's doing a drill, and then have them actually open and start using live ammunition on you. The stuff happens. All right.
Sure, but who would be behind the training in New Zealand, or is this an operation that goes?
Well, the guy was Australian. He was moving out all over the world and that kind of thing. And now, of course, what's happened is we've abandoned the there were three or four people arrested for the same thing and that kind of thing. Now, here's the problem. There were two men and one woman arrested for being part of the attack, which simultaneously happened on two mosques in Christchurch. There was another Muslim man with a gun arrested protecting the mosque. All right. And he was later let out. Now, at the mosque that he protected with his gun, a lot less casualties. And that mosque that was attacked wasn't the one that was live streamed. So it's now gone to the lone gunman narrative. This guy did it. See, look at the live stream and everything like that. Don't watch the live stream, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Don't watch the live stream. What happens every single time you tell somebody they can't do something? They go and do it, okay? They're doing, the media is doing this. It's called gaslighting. Now, it has nothing to do with flatulence, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, gaslighting is a psychological term, meaning that if you're in a relationship with somebody, like, for example, the media is in a relationship with you, or a perceived relationship that doesn't actually have any substance, and then they tell you, hey, there's something over there. You know what that is? That's this. And you go, that's not this. That's that. And you go, and they go, no, 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 no. You're wrong. You're just seeing it wrong. That's actually this. And you're like, you're looking at it, and it's clearly that. But you trust this person so much that you start to question your own eyes, your own perception of reality, and it starts to drive you freaking crazy. That's called gaslighting, ladies and gentlemen. And what happens is you get into such a fight or flight or freeze response that you abandon your upper thinking processes. Okay, so I'm a little on edge right now, for instance, because earlier today, I did a 3.5-hour live stream. I had Ollie Damagard, I talked to Kurt Richard Haskell, I talked to Ben Vigen, I read out their articles, covered some of the mainstream media stuff and like that. And then by the time I went back to check on my chat to see what the listeners were saying and that kind of thing, I was gone. I was off the internet. I was censored in real time. Because
your videos were taken down. Yes, your videos were taken down. I didn't even mention that. Vinny Eastwood, who we're talking with tonight, he is one of the best top newscasters in New Zealand. His accounts and his videos and the truth got taken off, just shut down, because he was trying to get the facts out to the people.
Right in the middle of the live stream as well. I was like, live censoring? Really? Like the government was watching my show? What is going on here?
That's crazy. I just... You know, and you know, that's happened before with me, where I've done something and all of a sudden we lose the feed or we lose the connection. And I tell my producers in Los Angeles, I say, what's going on? And we have no idea. And then we have to go back and figure out that either the cable shut down or something happened and something was sensitive, or I get a phone call from Langley, or these things happen. And it's because they don't want certain sensitive information to get out about such things. And of course, this shooting that happened in Christchurch is certainly... we're not going to get the whole story. We're just going to get blame being thrown everywhere here in the United States while this continues and this investigation continues. We don't hear the whole story. And that's why I felt it was important to get the top newsman, one of the top news reporters in New Zealand, to bring you this information. It's amazing information right here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Vinny Eastwood with us tonight on Ground Zero. Back with more. Don't go away. Mr. News, he is the top newscaster in New Zealand tonight here on Ground Zero to give us the just talk about what's going on in New Zealand right now and the aftermath of the shooting that took place in the mosques there, giving us the truth, truth to power here on this program. We're very grateful to have you on the program tonight, Vinny. So I noticed that there was writing on the guns. And this seems to be a new thing where we see writing on the guns. And I noticed that some of it was Cyrillic. And I'm thinking to myself, is this Russian? Is it Serbian? Is it, I mean, we hear the guy's Australian, but what's with all the writing on the gun?
All of the guns have the names and places where other mass shootings that he allegedly deified occurred place. Anders Breivik, the Freemason son who executed a whole bunch of people in Finland and a number of other people. Now, his manifesto, according to Kurt Richard Haskell, who's an expert on false flags, is a copy-paste, like in some cases a literal copy-paste, word for word, of the Unabomber and this Freemason assassin that I just mentioned earlier. They copy-pasted it, changed a few words and things like that, and it's manufactured. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever been involved in politics for any length of time, but if you are involved for any length of time, that's how long it takes to get anything done in politics. However, in New Zealand, in one day, we can draft a whole bunch of new legislation for our gun control laws and our terrorism laws and our surveillance laws and our police state and all of that kind of stuff. We're really fast at writing legislation, and we had it ready and raring to go like the second the muzzle flashes stopped, apparently. And so now New Zealanders are going to have their guns taken off them. They're going to have their freedoms taken off them, and there's going to be more police everywhere and less of freedom for everybody. As I found out when just telling people about these things that are actually being admitted in mainstream media, I'm getting cancelled off of YouTube. And even right now, I'm in a state of perpetual fear. Like I even named the live stream that I'm simulcasting with right now something completely different to what we're talking about, in fear that I will be censored of this kind of thing. And that's never happened to me before, ever. I've done 10 years talking about the craziest crapola you could ever conceive of, bro. And nothing has generated this kind of a stigma, all right? So when I was just coming on the show, I was watching the American broadcast. Now, what's happening now is that this incident in New Zealand is now being talked about in America. Obviously, you got me on, but it's being talked about as if it happened to America. This is the thing. We are part of
I know world. That you're right. This is so weird. You are so correct. It is almost as if it happened here. It didn't happen in Christchurch. It's happened here. President Trump is responsible. The gun laws do not do enough for the people. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Did it happen here or did it happen in Christchurch?
That's because you
make an excellent point. Excellent point.
It doesn't matter whether it happened here, because when you live in a new world order, no country is exempt from the propaganda that they wish to push on the population. That is the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, is to say that we're all one. Let's have all this inclusivity. They had Jewish spoke people, Asian spoke people, Muslim spoke people, Christian spoke people, no white spoke people or anything like that invited to these big press conferences to give their condolences and their refutations of these kind of things. It's almost like a social justice warrior hijacked event, you know? Like, we all came in to enjoy the discussion about the truth, about what actually happened, and look at it with a reasonable eye, and it gets co-opted immediately for somebody else's freaking agenda who doesn't care about a single one of the people who died, not one. They only care about their own agenda. Whatever that agenda might be, it might be pushing social justice, it might be getting more funding out of APAC, who knows what it is. But the problem that we face, ladies and gentlemen, is not one isolated to New Zealand nor to the United States. Our problem is a global one. In a blueprint of global enslavement, we are all the DNA of its construct. And I think that if we are capable of resisting this kind of BS oppression, and by that I mean they're using BS to oppress us, then we can survive. But not when we get censored for telling the truth and that kind of thing. Not when people get so hurt and angry about something they do not understand as to send out a complaint that would force YouTube to look at a video and then cancel it based upon it might hurt somebody's feelings. Let me tell you something. If you have been told really harsh truths before, it does not make them untrue just because they hurt your feelings, all right? The truth does not care what you think It is by its very nature a belligerent entity, and it is a cold, hard reality that we must accept, that there is a distinct possibility that somebody set this up, and that we as a society are the pawns in this game.
I want to share with you something.
Go ahead.
Just to further your point more, I was watching CNN this morning. The CNN anchor was talking with Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, and the woman that was speaking was Allison Camerota. She was speaking to Senator Blumenthal, and she immediately blamed rhetoric from President Trump and his allies for the mass shooting in New Zealand. And after, I'm going to read you the transcript. After briefly saying that, of course, our prayers go out to the people of New Zealand, particularly the loved ones of survivors and victims, Blumenthal wasted no time in bringing up Trump. He said, but words do have consequences. And we know that at the very pinnacle of power in our own country, people are talking about good people on both sides, he said, referencing Trump's controversial Charlottesville comments. Allison Camerota responded, you mean the president talking about it? I mean, I know it's hard to call this out. I've heard this from a guest this morning. They're having a hard time calling this out for some reason, meaning terrorism, white supremacy terrorism. Blumenthal responded by saying, I think it's more than the president. It's the people who enable him and who fail to stand up to him and speak out. And we're seeing some glimmers of spine now in the United States Congress. Some of my colleagues in the last three votes standing up to him and saying no to his trampling on the Constitution. But it's also more than words. The president has defied constitutional norms and principles in declaring a national emergency. They start talking about the wall situation. And then he says, words have consequences, like saying we have an invasion on our border, because that is exactly what Tehran had said. He said, this is an invasion. He says, we have an invasion on our border, and talking about people as though they were different in some fatal way. I think the public discourse from the president on down is a factor in some of these actions. And then Camerota egged him on and said, I mean, we don't have to guess actually at this. We don't have to connect the dots ourselves. This is what the suspects say. This guy put out, according to authorities, put out this manifesto where he connects the dots between the rhetoric that he likes to hear and the violent actions. So basically and it went on to say that what's going on here is that Trump's rhetoric is creating an air of incivility, and that it may spark a worldwide civil war. Pretty much saying that what happened in New Zealand is reflective of what President Trump does.
Yeah, and it's just absolute BS, because the president controls nothing. Here's the problem. If you've got a cabinet that's full of Freemasons, Council on Foreign Relations members, and people from the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group and various other globalist think tanks who have all actually pledged on a dotted line to support Israel over the United States, I mean, all clear in violations of the Logan Act. You're not allowed to go out and have foreign meetings with foreign dignitaries without somebody from the State Department present to document what actually happens, and all of the people in Trump's cabinet have violated that. That's an act of treason. And when you're looking at a president who's, you know, guilty of treason or whatever, people think that it's the president that's running that scam. And they think that it's only that president, you know, as if it hasn't been every single one. Back in the day, people figured this out. What was his name? Big Bill Rockefeller. He was the first franchisee snake oil salesman, ladies and gentlemen. That's how the Rockefeller family got their fortune. He figured out something that a lot of people don't. That if you call it snake oil, and then people figure out that snake oil is a scam, call it something else. Call it primate oil. Call it something else. You know, hey, oh, I don't like George H.W. Bush. He's a scumbag. I want to vote for somebody else. I want Clinton. Oh, he started wars in Kosovo and bombed everybody else and then gave all the police automatic weapons, bro. Okay, I don't like Clinton. I want Bush. I want George W. Bush this time. You know, it's missing the H, so everything's going to be fine now. And then you go and you get your George W. Bush. Bro, he invaded Afghanistan, invaded Iraq, and put you into, like, trillions of dollars in debt. And you're like, well, I don't like Bush anymore. I want Obama. He's going to solve everything. Bro, he like did more drone strikes in his first year of office than every single other president in the entirety of the history combined. Well, I'll put up with him for 8 more years then. And then I want Trump. I mean, folks, you're being scammed because they changed the name of the snake oil every time you forget what snake oil was. It's happening all the time. And the problem is, you insult people when you do this because they've forgotten. I speak not to your party. I speak not to your family. I speak not to your values. I speak to you, the person within that shroud of beliefs. You are a person and you have your own mind and you have your own individual abilities to discern and look at things for what they are. And you have a subconscious mind that can tell when something sounds right or when something's amiss, even if you can't put it into words exactly what that is. So I mean not any offense to anybody who believes in Trump or believes in authority of government or believes in anything the media says. You've been given no alternative up until this point. And there's no blame that you can have. It's what's called nascience. Not ignorance, but nascience. The information was there, but you just didn't know it. And this Dunning-Kruger effect was discovered in 1999. They got a whole bunch of people in, and they had a whole bunch of people who knew nothing about a subject and a whole bunch of people who knew a lot about a subject. And they asked them to do the same test together and rate how confident they would be in their answers. And the most amazing thing happened. All the people that did have a lot of knowledge found out that they didn't know as much as they thought they did. And all the people that had no knowledge thought they knew a lot more than they actually did. Case in point, if you don't know what you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, how do you know?
That's exactly right, because, it's the truth. It's selective reporting. It's what the media doesn't tell you. That spins conspiracy theory. It's what the media does not cover. It's what they selectively neglect that has people questioning. And there's a lot of it going on with the shooting in Christchurch. And that's why Vinnie Eastwood's with us tonight on Ground Zero. So glad to have him with us. What a remarkable guest and a remarkable reporter from New Zealand tonight. We're going to be taking calls coming up soon, too. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. The entire world is listening to Ground Zero tonight. With Vinnie Eastwood. We'll be back with more. Don't go away.
Oh, damn.
The most powerful show ever. This guy is, I can see why he's number one. He's fucking amazing. He's fucking amazing. He's like my brother in New Zealand. I swear to God, he's fucking great.
America's love me. Can you get a killer fabric softener? Oh, the lemon fresh kind. And fresh vanilla and Andre creamer.
Show me where that is again on there.
Vinnie Eastman is with us tonight on Ground Zero after listening to him. During the show tonight, you can see why he is the number one most listened to broadcaster and personality in New Zealand tonight, giving us the lowdown on what's going on with the Christchurch massacre. Of course, we're calling it the social media massacre because it was streamed on social media. Everything conveniently put together in a nice production to get people to be terrified and to engender new laws or at least draconian laws that they can implement. Speaking of which, I know that the Prime Minister spoke and said something to the effect, she said that they were going to definitely change the gun laws in New Zealand. What was she referring to?
Well, at the moment in New Zealand, gun laws are incredibly restrictive. You can't have full ammo mags. You have full criminal checkpoints, checkouts, and everything like that. Long wait periods if you want to go hunting and that kind of thing, and you want to stop off at a gas station to get yourself a bag of chips and a Coke, you can't because then you don't have a reason for your rifle to be in the car. That's the kind of crazy paperwork. You have to have a safe bolted to the floor and the wall in order to be able to store your firearms according with the law. So if anybody runs into your house and is trying to kill you with a machete, you just have to wait. Tell them to wait a moment. I just need to open my safe. 36 7 Oh, he's stabbing me! He's stabbing me! You see, you have doubts about the reasons why people do things, and I call it FOCKEM, Occam's razor. Now, what Occam's razor essentially preaches to you is that if there's two possibilities. One of them sounds really nice, and you could totally see that happening. But the other one sounds really, really horrible, and you wish it wasn't true. The second one is usually the one that's more closer to being true than the other. And essentially what happens is when you've got government legislation in, it was interesting, I had a conversation with somebody about gun control not too long ago, and I made the point that every single dictatorship throughout history that has exterminated a particular group of people first took all the weapons off of that particular group of people. And they go, no, he didn't. See, Hitler increased gun ownership across Germany more than anyone else. And I go, yeah, but that was directly after he registered all the weapons, which meant all the old weapons that weren't registered suddenly were on the registry, so they realized how much weapons there actually were. And then, because you had to declare which political parties you were on the form of gun registry, he found all the people in the opposition parties and exterminated them.
That's okay. True. I mean, yeah, very true. I mean, and I always say, you know, you have your way of describing Occam's razor. I have mine, is that Occam's razor is fine until you use it to cut your throat, and then it's not worth a damn anymore. So we need to be careful with that as well. Hey, Vinny, we got to take a break. Hold you over for a little longer. You want to stay with us for a little bit, or do you have to go and do more interviews?
How long you got?
I could go another hour, or we could go now. I mean, I just want to know how your schedule is.
Will be fine, bro. With the breaks and everything, it allows me to pop out and grab coffee while the ads are playing, which is not
fantastic.
Something I normally get the opportunity to do, which is grand.
That's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to pop out and get some coffee, too. We both get caffeinated, and we're going to have another great hour. And we're going to get some phone calls, too. Vinny Eastwood with us tonight on Ground Zero from New Zealand. Speaking to us about what's happening with actually the climate, the what is going on with in Christchurch tonight, the aftermath of this massive shooting. It's a social media shooting. They televised it, or they streamed it on Facebook. And of course, the manifesto is loaded with all kinds of internet savvy in jokes and people they can put the blame on, from conservative internet hosts to Donald Trump to the Chinese. I mean, everybody isn't spared the blame. And it's like Vinny said, it's copy pasta. It's basically copy pasted from several other manifestos, just a big mishmash and collage of other whacked out ideas. But they're there to divide everybody and create an era of civil war in the entire world. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. We'll be back. Tonight, our special guest, Vinny Eastwood from New Zealand. Number one newscaster in New Zealand, most listened to newscaster in New Zealand, and we have him here on Ground Zero tonight to give us the lowdown on what is happening there after the nearly 50 people that were gunned down in a mosque. They now have said that it's a lone gunman. They had three suspects. We heard from Vinny there were three suspects, and there was also another man that was at the mosque that was trying to defend the mosque, and he was arrested and then was released. So there are a number of things we're not hearing here in the United States, but what we are hearing a lot of is blame. A lot of blame. And, you know, what was interesting and what I was thinking about as well, and something that Vinny had brought up, if you missed the last hour, Vinny had said, you know, the United States is acting like it happened here. And it's true. I when I was watching CNN this morning, it was almost as if did this happen here? Did it happen in Christchurch? And they're doing this strange putting together of the universes, the multiverses in a rather terrifying or at least chilling effect, where as Vinny had said, they're gaslighting us, and they're also forcing us into doublethink, a very Orwellian move with regard to guns again, and you know, censorship again, and all these you know, old tired ideas. And you know, it was interesting, and Vinny's with us here, we have a live uplink with him. It was interesting how your prime minister, she seemed to have this interest, Jacinda Ardern. She had this interest more in telling us the make and model of the guns rather than telling us about the victims were killed. I watched in the press conference that she talked about the numbers of dead. She talked about suspects. And then she said she started mentioning all the guns were involved. And I'm thinking, what does that matter? I mean, people are dead, but she wanted to make sure that everyone knew every gun, shotgun, you know, whether or not it's, I mean, it just seemed to me that was just blatant, that there was an agenda there, you know, scaring people with the weapons. What did you get from the press conference?
other than psychopathy? I think like the Ardern criminal, as I like to call her, has been groomed from the start for this position. So essentially she was given a Freemason scholarship to attend Waikato University. She went from university and started working for the Better Business Bureau in the UK, which was a pro-business agency that aimed to cut regulations for big businesses and strangle small businesses with red tape. She was also involved with public relations while she was in the UK during the height of a Freemason police sex abuse scandal, and the firm that she worked for helped to cover up any evidence of police and Freemason wrongdoing, even though there was, as a result of the trials, a ban, a outright ban in England of Freemasons joining the police. The City of London, however, which is not under the jurisdiction of the Crown and has a Lord Mayor, openly flouts this law. And this is the woman who then came back to New Zealand, got recruited by a man named Phil Goff, who is a member of several globalist groups and clubs like Parliamentarians for Global Action. And she was also mentored by former Prime Minister Helen Clark, who's a member of the Club de Madrid and Parliamentarians for Global Action. If you've never heard of these groups, they are international groups where you can't get in unless you're an elected member of Parliament. And in order to get in, you have to say, yes, I want global government above all else. That's the reason why you haven't heard of the group, or the fact that your Prime Minister, ladies and gentlemen listening in New Zealand, belongs to them and wants the global government to be set out. So, in accordance with every single dictatorship throughout history, we're now simply going to amplify what we need to do in order to get it done. So, first of all, every dictatorship throughout history wants to debase the economy, demoralize everybody, and get rid of their goodness, their religion following, and that kind of thing. Because that stuff, and morality, and monogamy, all of these things hold principles, and they make men better than beasts. And if you can make people afraid, hate each other, have no strong relationships, get raised in single parent families, and this is no disparaging to anybody who's coming from a single parent family, I did, you can essentially undermine people's ability to fight back against an oppressor. Now, the way that you do that is by infiltrating all the power centers of society, law, media, and medicine. And obviously politics, a number of other power centres, but a recent study has shown that psychopaths are overrepresented within those fields. What's the difference between a psychopath and an ordinary person? It's called a limbic system malfunction. What it means is that when you're talking to a psychopath and you insult them, they interpret it immediately as a direct threat and will immediately attack back onto you. Okay, that's how they really differ in kind of fight or flight mode. We kind of look at something, we feel it, and then we react. But they're missing this kind of link there. And as a result, they are absolutely deeply obsessed with the only way to get their fight or flight mechanism going: sex, drugs, murder, power, that kind of thing. The ultimate aphrodisiac, according to Henry Kissinger. And right now, we have many, many horrifically conscienceless people in positions of power, and they will use instances like this to sucker punch you, more or less, while you're distracted. So the police, leading up to this incident, there was a member of parliament from a minor political party who got assaulted in the street. There was an assault weapon incident 2 weeks ago, just before this happened, for which there was calls for all the police to be armed. And before that, we've had operations from international things like NATO organizations, US troops here in New Zealand, doing what they call drills against dictatorship takeover. What that means is, if New Zealand democratically elects a person that overseas powers don't like, they train their troops here in New Zealand on how to invade and get rid of a locally appointed dictator. Okay, that's what's going on here, and it's quite frightening to see, because this is all coming out really, really quickly. Everybody's in this big shock type of thing, and we forget. You know, you wouldn't do something like this, ladies and gentlemen, would you? You wouldn't lie, you wouldn't steal, you wouldn't get people exterminated or anything like that, or connive against all the people who love you and trust you, would you? But right, not everybody thinks like you.
Well, we have an impression that New Zealand is a peaceful place, especially Christchurch. And just the idea of this happening, I mean, we don't hear much from New Zealand. If people ever wanted to escape this country, they talk about places like Australia, New Zealand, Paraguay, Uruguay, because no one bothers them. You know, the farther south you go, you don't get bothered. Now we're hearing about all this going on in New Zealand. I mean, this makes New Zealand right now very vulnerable, wouldn't you say?
Well, think about it. Every place that you think of as a holiday destination is terrible. Like, for example, New Zealand has a lot of advertising. In fact, our Prime Minister is often also our tourism minister because tourism is our number one thing. You know what really messes with tourism numbers? Fear. Okay? So yeah. What do you tell people? You tell people it's 100% pure. It's 100% safe. When in the reality is it's maybe like 26% pure, which ain't pure, and it's like 94% safe, which is like, it's still pretty risky, but, you know, it's no different to walking down the street in Los Angeles and things like that. But what happens is people are, they form an opinion in their head that they've been fed through the media. Now, in America, you have many, many filters that the news stories over here will pass through before they get to you. And each of those filters, like a film script, will be like, no, we'll cut that scene out, we'll cut that scene out, we'll cut that scene out, we'll cut that scene out. And then they release the movie and you're like, the plot doesn't make sense. And you're like, exactly, because they cut out key parts of the plot so that you don't fully understand what's going on in the screenplay. This fear mechanism, this whole savagery, they want us at each other's gosh dang throats and we don't want to do it. That's the thing. So many people love each other. And during this time, people have genuine moments of grief and shock. I don't have that anymore because I have steeled myself against it. I have seen violence with my own face.
Right.
You know, as the fists are coming into my jaw, I have felt it. And I know what it's like and I know how to deal with it. And in fact, I'm so much better in a crisis situation than I am in a peace scenario. You don't want somebody like me in charge because I'll create war when there's peace and I'll create peace when there's war, only as long as I can be the savior of it, right? And because I understand this kind of tendency within myself, that's why I'm always questioning, am I telling the right thing? Am I just being egotistical? That kind of thing. But we shouldn't be doing that a lot of the time when we're dealing with incidents like this, by grandstanding and saying, hey, this is all about our cause now. Somebody did something that we don't like. Let's tar somebody with a brush. Let's do guilt by association. How many logical fallacies have we got in this thing? Ah, there's like 86 logical fallacies. I think we could probably use about maybe 20 of them. Yeah, let's use 20 logical fallacies. Just throw them out there. Throw them on the wall. Yep. Okay, it's sticking. That one's falling off. It doesn't matter what it is. They'll just lie in order to get their agenda through, which is everybody at each other's throats, guns out of the hands of the population, and an all-powerful shadow state that can never, ever be resisted for the rest of eternity.
Seems like the division, the wedge that they want to put in between all of us, there's an agenda there because with the divided people, fragmented people, and what I like to call the when we have the collective logic all together and when the collective logic is based in fear, we have a lot of knee-jerk reactions and a lot of things happening that certainly make you curious as to what the real agenda is and the end game is. It's certainly to change the thought processes and bring us all together, as you say, into a new world order. It's no longer a crank conspiracy when it's obvious that they are pushing for these agendas and making your place and our place and every place a dangerous place to live.
Not necessarily.
And this is the agenda. And it's done so in order to say, please save us. Nanny state, save us. State, we want to belong to the state. We want the state to give us socialist programs. And we want to be living green and pure. And it's all a dystopian nightmare. And they generate this through this type of fear you talk about. Vinny Eastwood with us tonight on Ground Zero, 888-673-3700. Your call's coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Vinny Eastwood with us tonight on Ground Zero from New Zealand, tonight telling us about what is happening there after in the aftermath of the shooting that took place there, the massacre. It was actually streamed on social media. So I was just reading in the Drudge Report something about how the headline says, this is interesting, it said, shooting erodes New Zealand's reputation for safety and tolerance. Once again, what plagues us here in the United States is the idea that we have no tolerance. We have no safety. We are all, you know, white supremacists who hate on each other. We're all victims. I mean, are they trying to push the same agenda in New Zealand, or have they been pushing it for some time?
Well, we get this exact same agenda everywhere we go. I mean, have you guys got fluoride chemtrails and authoritarian government methodologies to arm the police and a whole bunch of population who's unwashed and unclean and doesn't really care about anything except their smartphone and attends massive sporting events and just watches a hell of a lot of TV that's really unhealthy for them and has a terrible diet and bad fitness? You got that? We got that. Okay? It's the same frickin' deal. And I said... F-R-I-K-K-E-N. No, yeah. It's not. It's an... It's okay. Well, somebody introduced me one time. I think it was Jack Blood. He introduced me. Yeah, this is Vinny Eastwood. He's got a funny accent. And at that moment, realized that I wasn't actually funny. It was just a speech impediment.
No, I think you're loud and clear here. I guess what the Western world is doing is when you have these Western ideas, they want to just, you know, divide us and work on the collective intelligence part, lead us into different traps, mental traps. It's like when I was reading the manifesto and I was reading the replacement manifesto and the Great Replacement. I thought to myself, this is all trappings of trying to get people to question or hold doublethink, which is like, for example, you know, he goes in and he takes out a whole mosque of Muslims, hoping that you'll be able to say, well, I agree. He removed the scapegoat that I don't agree with. And you know, that's the thing that he wanted. He wanted to go in and just do everything that would be considered anti-this and anti-that to get a rise out of everybody who uses selective reasoning to fortify their normalcy bias or their cognitive biases. And the media, oh, my God, they are just lapping this up, especially when you're dealing with the media that wants to malign Donald Trump. And it gets back to the idea that this happened here. It didn't happen in New Zealand. It happened in the United States. And we need stricter gun control laws here in the United States because of what happened in New Zealand. We need to tell our president not to speak the way he speaks because the guy who did the killing in New Zealand is doing it here too. He's killing us as well. And this is what is so bizarre about this. It's almost as if they forget that this happened in New Zealand and not in the United States, and that Donald Trump isn't the poster child for everything we hate, although they want him to be. And that's the problem I'm seeing with this whole narrative.
Political polarization in the United States has come to epic proportions where once people could talk to each other and politely disagree, now we cannot.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because people who are at each other's throats are far easier to divide and conquer. Okay, so let's say, for instance, somebody says, no, I don't want guns being taken out of the hands of Americans because, oh, why is that? Why is that? Do you want to go and do on a school shooting, do you? And you go, no, I just kind of prefer it if the government doesn't have all the guns because then history shows that every time they've got all the guns and weapons, they exterminate everybody that questions anything that they do. So that's kind of like just right there, a pretty straightforward reason why you need a healthy, well-regulated militia or armed population, in which case the government turns tyrannical, worst-case scenario. And the vast majority of people who have, you know, what they call assault weapons, are in fact ordinary people who wouldn't kill anybody unless they were trying to kill them. There is a concept called natural law. The one concept is you cannot take that which does not belong to you. That includes property, somebody's life, somebody's liberty. You can't take it if you don't have a right to it. Now, let's say you wanted the government to take people's guns off them and pass subsequent legislation in order to demonize their opposition. Okay, how do you do that? Well, it really helps if there's some big bombing or some shooting or something anywhere that has enough media coverage that people can be sufficiently outraged about to abandon their reasoning processes and immediately look for a savior. Save me, Daddy! I need to be saved! However, in the Milgram experiments, and this is very interesting, where they had somebody sitting in a chair with a person on the opposite side of the glass, and they said, okay, you can electrocute him now because he got a question wrong. And the person goes, no, I don't want to electrocute him. Electrocute him, it's the law. And they go, oh, okay, okay. And they do it. That's called dissent. Okay.
Yes.
Now,
well,
if I may, I just want to finish this point. When you dissent, the person who forces you doesn't care. All right. But if you disobey, and this was the other part of the experiment that's not talked about often, they put somebody in there that refused to deliver the electric shocks in front of another person. And they found that when somebody is right, this is the clear distinction between these shootings and what these findings start. When somebody is right and they stand up, other people stand up behind them and they feel encouraged.
Yeah, they do.
Vicious.
Peer pressure, coercion, it happens all the time. We'll be back more with Benny Eastwood right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. What is happening? We're going to go to some phone calls right now, right here on the phones at 888-673-37. Let's start off with Jack in California. Hi, Jack, you're on Ground Zero.
Well, you know, normally here in the States, we don't hear anything about New Zealand unless you've had an earthquake. So I was actually surprised to see that you allowed for gun ownership, because I know in Australia, they confiscated the guns, and owning a gun is illegal there. So I had a couple of questions for your guest.
Sure.
How did New Zealand manage to avoid the gun confiscation? And did the shooter legally own these weapons? And do you think this incident will now lead to gun confiscation in New Zealand?
Okay, so how they get away with it is because we're an island nation in the middle of the Pacific with water on all sides, so it's very, very difficult to get weapons in here. Luckily, we have a government agency called MFAT, which can tap port officials on the shoulder and say, don't scan this incredibly suspicious ship. Don't scan it, okay? It's against the law. Here, scan all those empty containers over there, okay? And then they arm all the police, and the police go and they do business with the gangs and things like that. A whole bunch of police weapons, body armor, ammunition, all these kind of things that are police issue have had all of their serial numbers filed off, all of these other identifying markers. I believe a weapons expert said there was something like 6 identifying markers or something like that in the manufacturing process to tell where a weapon might have come from. I'm not 100% sure about those numbers, but apparently on these weapons found in New Zealand gangs, all of those qualifiers are burned off and all the weapons happen to be police standard issue. So theoretically, the police are working with local gangs in order to arm people with weapons that they shouldn't have so that they can go and pull off things that the police would like to do but don't want to be seen doing. Like, for example, exterminating a whole bunch of Muslims in order to arm all of the police and take the arms off of all of the people of New Zealand, and then have this projected overseas via a massive media storm and make everybody think like it happened here, and that it's global ramifications. A country with 4 million people is now going to set the gun policy for 7 billion people. Thank you very much. Doesn't make sense, does it? It's because it's based on deception.
There you go.
So it sounds like you think that this will lead to gun confiscation, this particular incident. And
here in the United States as well, Jack.
Do the shooter had a license to own these weapons or not?
Do you know if the shooter had a license, Vinny?
The particular guns themselves were actually unlicensed. They were unlicensed police issue things, and also the guy had a couple of previous convictions, and under New Zealand gun laws, if you want to get something with a license, you have to have all your criminal records checked, and if you have any criminal record, basically period, you don't get a gun.
Jack, what he's trying to say is, and it's a very interesting point, a shooting in New Zealand, which is, we've been told, is a very safe place, a relatively safe place, not only is going to influence gun legislation and gun changes in New Zealand, but it's going to reflect what the world wants, okay? And so this is a situation where we say, well, if it can happen in New Zealand, a very safe and wonderful place, imagine it can happen here. So what happened in New Zealand, we don't want to have happen here in the United States. So he says 4 million people on an island country are going to influence what 7 billion people have to do. And that is turn in their guns for a world government. I can see that very much. It doesn't make sense why they're making such a big deal of it here in the United States, only they're using it as a reason to say, well, if it happens in New Zealand, then, you know, you obviously need to do something here, because New Zealand's a relatively safe place. We don't hear of crime there. We don't hear of anything there. And if they're going to have harsh gun legislation, so should we. That's the whole point. I think Vinny's onto something here, because I don't understand, and I haven't understood, why this has become such an American issue when it happened in New Zealand.
Yeah, maybe the reason you don't understand that is because you don't think like a psychopath. If you did, this would make perfect sense. You'd be like, oh, of course, how did I not see this?
So does that answer your question, Jack?
Yes, and thanks again for another great show, Clyde.
Thank you, Jack. You have a great night. Take care. Let's go to David in California. Hi, David. You're on with Vinny Eastwood. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right, Clyde. You know, I've studied propaganda for years, and I don't know if you're familiar with an old book from right at the very start of World War II. There was a book that came out called Undercover by a guy named John Roy Carlson. And many of these expressions that are being used by these shooters are identical to the Bund of pre-World War II Germany. A lot of people don't realize it, but Hitler had a very elaborate propaganda campaign to soften up every country that he invaded. And I'm wondering if your guest is familiar with the old Operation Gladio, because it would seem to me that many of these people, if they're using the same talking points as the old Nazis, maybe they're the grandchildren of people that escaped Gladio.
Could we have a Gladio-influenced type of attack? After all, he was a Breivik fan. He basically, and we know that what Andres Breivik did was certainly a Gladio operation. What do you say to that, Vincent?
Gladio never stopped. It only expanded. With the snake oil analogy before, if people realize snake oil is a scam, just call it squirrel oil or primate oil or something of that nature. You know, oh, he's a white supremacist. Oh, he's a left-wing extremist. Or he's a something or other or other. Now, I want to actually make a point about MKUltra here, because mind control is very, very powerful, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't believe you're under mind control at this very moment, and I believe this myself included, if you think you're not under mind control, it's working. And what's happening essentially is we have a image in our mind of what we call the other. Now, if you perceive the other as a threat, all your thoughts about the other will be related to the threat. They won't be related to, did the other have a nice childhood? Did the other have a moral a backbone in their body to stand up against tyranny? Did the other do this? We stop seeing people as being similar to ourselves. Okay, and this is what the interesting thing about the Milgram experiment really taught a lot of developmental psychologists, is that if you want to look for the monsters that commit the atrocities, ladies and gentlemen, you need only look into a mirror. And everybody will go, no, no, I would never do that or anything like that. Really? Gun pointed to your head, hey, you get exterminated as well as your family and you lose your job unless you kill this this dissident here? A lot of us, most of us, would pull that trigger. Mind control is a powerful thing. And MKUltra was done at universities in the United States. It wasn't done in underground labs or anything like that. It was your psychology professor or something like that saying he wants your brain in a jar. You know, really
well,
freaking
and
crazy
you know,
stuff.
What you're talking about, too, is something called Blutkite. And I think David is also kind of inferring this, that back in the time of Hitler, there was something called Blutkite or blood cement. And what Blutkite was is that how can you condemn your leader for killing when you've said nothing about it? Or how can you condemn your leader for making these decisions when you don't say anything about it? Obviously, you give the blessing of the hired murderers or the hired assassins because they're killing those who you disdain. They are killing those that you don't necessarily agree with. So if your leadership or your military or your police or whomever are killing the bad guys you perceive to be bad guys, you're giving them the blessing, or you're having blood cement, meaning you kill for me. That's what I elected you for. And this is something that, happens when you have an outrageous, like you said, psychopathic dictator or leader that certainly will abuse the people and convince them that it's important that somebody has to die because, the philosophies don't gel with them. So and so you have people cheering on the murder of the Muslims. And I think that's what Tarrant wanted. He wanted to be able to say, well, look, the people that are on the that are Western world want to see Muslims die anyway. I'm doing a good deed by removing them all. This is the great replacement. That's what he called it. He said, look, they're overbreeding. They're infiltrating. They're immigrating. I'm going to kill them, and everybody's going to praise me for doing it. And he expected that. That's what's so crazy about his whole attitude. And it sounds convoluted. It sounds like it's right out of the playbook of psychological operations. And that's the thing that people need to understand. And I think it's been made clear on the show that this is a psychological operation along with a true murder spree that was certainly made for this time because it was actually streamed on the internet for 17 minutes.
Well, dig this. I'm going to read a post out now. You're going to love this. New Zealand police would like to remind the public that it is an offence to share an objectionable publication, which includes the horrific video from yesterday's attack. If you see this video, report it immediately. Do not download it. Do not share it. If you are found to have a copy of the video or have shared it, you face fines and potential imprisonment. What are the penalties for possession or trading in objectionable material? Anybody found knowingly in possession of objectionable material can receive a maximum of 10 years imprisonment. Every time a person downloads objectionable material onto their screen, there is the potential for a possession offence having been committed. It's like being passed a joint. You've just broken a law. Anybody who knowingly makes or knowingly trades, distributes or displays an objectionable publication via the internet can receive a maximum of 14 years imprisonment, and a body corporate can be fined up to $200,000. That was released today. A listener sent me that basically minutes after my live stream on YouTube. We were talking about all the false flag aspects of this was cut out in midstream. All right, it was it's never happened to me before, and I'm scared, not of any Muslim shooting terrorists. I'm scared of the government.
Well, and not only that, but you know, it's not that hard to find this video. It's everywhere on the internet. They said it's been removed completely. It hasn't been removed completely, just like the whole Momo videos that said they didn't exist. They're on the internet. I found them. I've looked at them. You know, they're just trying to cover up the fact that they cannot control some of these things that are getting broadcast on the internet. And as I said before, it's highly coincidental that Facebook had shut down for nearly a day and a half before this happened. And when people were hungry, we had a very captive audience to see this happen, the 17 minutes of death. And it just seems a little odd to me that we had this captive audience after everybody was being starved from their fix of social media. I mean, they couldn't get the dopamine squirt, and finally they got the biggest dopamine squirt of their lives watching a man gun down a bunch of Muslims in a mosque, nameless, faceless, dead. And that's the way they want it, because it's not about the victims, it's not about whether or not they're Muslims. It's the idea that the guns were being used, the type of guns were being used. And like you said, Vinny, you said if it happens in a peaceful place like New Zealand, imagine what can happen in the United States. And we need to immediately go to task and get these gun laws enacted. It's simple as that. It's amazing that they even make it feel as though it's happening here, and it's not. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clegg Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. We've had a privilege of listening to someone who is certainly deserves the moniker of being the most listened to talk show host, newsman in New Zealand, giving us information about what is going on in New Zealand and how this is affecting the United States, the shooting, the nearly 50 people that were dead in the mosques, the videos, what is, the penalty for having the video, of course. It's just, once again, showing us the draconian measures the governments will go to, including, as he pointed out, the gaslighting that is going on with our media, making it sound as though it's happening here, so that we can once again drop the gun debate and continue the gun debate in this country when, it just doesn't need to happen. We're basically capitalizing on it. And, if people were to realize just how the manifesto has got a lot of, I guess you could call it inside internet, terminologies and ideas that certainly are there to raise the anger, raise the division. I think that they would realize that that our media, certainly the media that wants to, just grab onto this and say that it's Trump's fault. I mean, this is something that even my friend, who's very liberal, said he can't believe that they have made exactly what you pointed out, Vinny, that they make it sound as though it's happening right here and that it's our president's fault that this happened, when in reality, just because he was mentioned in a manifesto, that puts blame on him exclusively. And this is something that I think people need to see this for what it is, whether you are liberal or conservative. This is how they do it. They are wanting to find every reason they can to poison the information well and to get people to say, well, everything's screwed. We might as well just give in to the world order. What do you think of that?
In these times of crisis, let's focus on the evidence. Who is the shooter? What did they do? When did this happen? Where did it occur? How did it happen? And why? This case is not unprecedented, as New Zealand did have a mass shooting on a road in Ashburton in the mid-90s called Every Street. There was a shooting on every street in New Zealand. What we must do now is console the victims, but stay calm. Let the facts come out before we make condemnations one way or the other. And be strong.
I would agree. I would agree. I think that most of the time we feel that, you know, our, you know, mainstream is the only mainstream, and you've opened our horizons and opened our eyes to a bigger picture, a bigger world. And tonight, I think we're grateful. We are certainly grateful and blessed for it. I would like to thank you again, Vinny. I know you've been doing interviews all day. You've worked really hard, but it's certainly, I guess, it was certainly a pleasure to have you on the program. So many people have given me tweets and indications that they really enjoyed the insight you gave to this situation. I really appreciate you coming on the program tonight.
I give insight on situations infinitely. The point of the show, ladies and gentlemen, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood. Like, go ahead, make my news. Go over there, ladies and gentlemen, and click on the YouTube channel and subscribe and click the little bell for notifications. Otherwise, the government search programs named Google won't get you in there. And if you think Google's not a government search program, ask which CIA front company gave them $500 million. And then tell me that it doesn't belong to the government. Now,
well, Eddie, we're running out of time. Thank you again. Thank you so much for being on the program. Take care.
Thank you, Brian.
Good night.
All right, and we're out, ladies and gentlemen. It's just me now, but while we're at this, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. It's been a crazy day. It's been a crazy couple of days, man. And I really want people to understand that you don't have to just, you know, declare something a false flag and just go with that. Even if you're correct, it pays to know. And it pays to do your research into something, that kind of thing. It pays to not preach hate against entire groups of people when individuals themselves are responsible. We need, in this world, ladies and gentlemen, not people necessarily to dissent. That's kind of what I'm here to do. But I realize now that dissent is not entirely necessary, because dissent accomplishes virtually nothing. Disobedience. If we refuse to obey, that is what tyrants do not like. And I want to encourage people to watch the show on the homepage of the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. It was with Dr. Bruce Levine, or just Google Vinny Eastwood Bruce Levine, and listen to that show we did about the authoritarian mindset, man. It was just, holy cow. Holy cow, what a show. What a show, folks. But other than that, thank you very much for joining me. And I hope to see you guys again sometime. Because this is, I'm probably going to have to be live streaming again tomorrow as well. I'll be hopefully getting Ben Vigen on, Kurt Richard Haskell for their commentary on this. And I hope this wouldn't happen. I hope this wouldn't happen, that, and I'm not talking about the shooting or something like that. I knew something like this was an eventuality. What I hoped would not happen is that for something like this to happen in New Zealand and for it to go global, all right, and for everybody to feel like the victim in all of this and to turn everybody against everybody, you know, I would like it if it was just contained here and you go, no, this is our issue, bro, just chill out, you know, that I know it was really, really bad, but we're going to be calm, we're going to get to the bottom of it, we're going to figure out who's responsible, and they're going to be punished accordingly to the full extent of the law. And tried by a jury of their peers, right? That's what we need, calm, detached, and emotionless justice, not vengeance. And we must be reminded that, of course, when you seek justice, you don't necessarily get it. All you get is hurt. So, folks, Tom S., thank you very much for the $2 super chat, bro. That's very nice of you. And I'm not sure what happened with the other super chats of the video that got deleted this morning. I'm just really, really gutted about that. So hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back tomorrow if I don't get another copyright strike or something like that on this particular video or anything like that. So, yes, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for watching, and we will see you again sometime.
Hi folks, I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show. The first and only New Zealander in history to be offered a talk radio show on an American network. For nearly 10 years I've worked hard to help people's voices be heard. Created the largest online archive of protests, public meetings and long-form interviews with activists in New Zealand history. Revealing the hidden and uncomfortable truths of our time that no corporate media will air. On this show, you will hear directly from the activists, journalists, and fringe researchers about every topic and belief structure imaginable. No taboo topics, no fear of doom, and only one rule: have fun. After all, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point? Thousands of hours of free audio and video content with almost any guest on practically any subject you can imagine is available right now for free. Why? Because people all over the world have been giving me a few dollars a month. Many have been giving $5 a week, others $10 and $20, each according to their means. Some so generous as to donate $100 a month with one specific instruction. Just keep doing what you're doing, Vinny. This show has changed and in some cases literally saved lives. There are people who live today who would have taken their own life had it not been for the good humour and mind-blowing conversations with some of the most brilliant people on the planet to remind us that there is a lighter side to genocide, and the only thing worse than the New World Order is the jokes of Vinny Eastwood.